The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. But before we get started, I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask y'all this morning. And here's my question. Think back over your life, ever how many years you have been here living on this earth. Think back over the years. If you were to rank the years that you've lived in the order of your favorite to least favorite, let me ask you this. 2020, does it make the top 3? Anybody? Does it make the top 10? Okay, if you're under 10, you got to raise your hand. You've only been alive for 10 years. All right, so nobody is too excited about 2020. I don't have to go into details too much, I don't think, to explain why. I saw a thing online that I kind of laughed at. People were making a joke about it. They said, today marks 5 years we've been in 2020. It just seems like it's been a long year. Some ways it seems long, some ways it seems like it's gone by quickly. But there's been a lot of challenges that I think we have faced, not just as a church, as a nation, but globally. I read friends that I know in different countries, and I mean, they've had even more significant changes in their day-to-day life than what we've seen in our country. And so this morning, I wanted us to look at the Word of God, look at what Paul had to say here to the church at Corinth, and hopefully we can find some things that will be an encouragement to us. Whether 2020 has been your favorite year or your least favorite year, some truths that will be of value to us this morning. So let's go to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to focus on 3 through 11, but we'll start at verse 1 to get the context there. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experienced when you patiently endured the same suffering that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Verse 8 says, For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction which we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us on him. We have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, your word is just as relevant to us in our lives today in 2020 as it was as Paul penned these words to the church at Corinth back in the first century. And Father, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, but Father, that our ears would be open to hear what you would say to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as you come to verse 3, Paul here, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, blessed be, or all praise be to God. Last week and in the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, we've talked many times during the children's corner and even in the messages about the fact that we should be a thankful people. We should give thanks in all things. And it's not always easy to give thanks in all things. Sometimes life is not going the way we want it to go. Things are not happening the way that we would like for them to happen. Yet Paul, as he's talking about the afflictions that they faced here, he starts off by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All praise be to him." He says that he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our affliction. As Paul is talking here in these first few verses, verses 3-7, Paul is speaking in general terms as he talks about affliction and difficulties that believers face, and then the comfort of God that God gives to those that trust in him. He's talking in general terms, and he's saying that God is a God of comfort. God gives comfort to those that are suffering, those that are facing affliction. And also he says that the reason for that is so that we can comfort others. As God brings comfort to the problem that you're facing, you know, that should have an impact on others around you. We talk about 2020. It's something we all have in common. We're all living through this together. And yes, we face the same challenges many times as those that don't know Christ. But for us, it should be a little bit different. Because of Christ, because of our faith in him, the challenges of this life shouldn't be as overwhelming in our lives. God has promised that he will comfort us. And as God comforts us, it should be evident and have an impact on others around us as well. Paul says that comfort carried over to others. When we think about finding comfort in the midst of life's difficulties, life's afflictions, as the text refers to it there, you look at our world, people turn to many different things to find comfort during difficult times. Whether different addictions or whatever it is that they can find to, you know, promise them comfort, promise them some kind of escape from the difficulty that they're facing. The problem with all of those things that the world offers to give comfort in those times is they often come with high consequences. Many times, instead of bringing true comfort, they only compound the problem. Yet Jesus gives comfort that doesn't come with negative consequences. God brings comfort that is real, that is impactful in our lives. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God offers comfort. He offers rest to those that place their hope in him. As I was preparing for this, I found a story about a girl, it says a little Welsh girl, that lay dying of a dreaded disease. And the doctors had come and they had told the mother that the child was very soon going to pass away. There was nothing left that they could do. There was, you know, only a few minutes, moments, you know, that would quickly pass. And they told the mother this. And the mother, you know, begins to try to comfort that daughter, begins to try to comfort that child, saying, you know, soon you're going to hear the music of heaven. And the child said, and she said, "You will hear sweeter songs than you've heard on this earth, and you will hear them sing the songs of Moses and all of this." And the tired little girl, she turns her head slowly and says, "Oh, mother, I am so sick, I think it would make me feel terrible to listen to such music." And it says that the mother continued, "You know, you will see Jesus in streets all paved with gold. Why think of it? You will see all the beautiful angels. And the mother continues on trying to comfort the child with thoughts of heaven. And she says, "Mother, I am too sick even to think of such things." And then desperately the mother offered one more suggestion. "Darling, come, let me hold you quietly in my arms." She said, "Mama, that is what I want. If Jesus will only take me in his arms and let me rest." And, you know, we think about all of the wonders of heaven and the things we'll see, the things we'll hear, the things we'll experience, but nothing compares to being at rest in the presence of Jesus. So in suffering, God brings comfort. Paul says, "All praise be to God." We don't have to be excited about the difficulties that we are facing in our lives. You know, when we think about giving thanks in all things, it's not that we experience tragedy and we experience difficulty in our lives and say, "Well, you know, I'm so glad that happened." It's not that we are, you know, excited about the difficulties, but we can praise God knowing that he is present and that he comforts us. When life seems out of control, we can rest in him and know that God is in control. This morning, as we think about the challenges we faced over this last year, and maybe, you know, people whose work has been affected because of COVID-19 and because of the things that we faced, or maybe, you know, people that have been sick with the virus, or even some that have lost their lives this year, and you think of those tragic events, and I don't have the answer to all of the details of those things, but I want to encourage you, church, to remember and to be reminded of the truth that you know, that God is in control. This year didn't catch God by surprise. Many of us, we thought 2020 was probably going to be a lot different than the way it's shaped up, but God wasn't caught by surprise. And Paul talks about how believers share in suffering and they share in comfort, and in all things we're to give praise to God. But as I said, verses 3 through 7, Paul is speaking in general terms about believers facing affliction and the comfort that God brings. But in verse number 8, Paul begins to really bring it home as he speaks personally about what has happened in his own life and what Paul and Timothy had already experienced. It's one thing, you know, as we read the Word of God and as we study the Word of God, to hear somebody say, you know, "Well, these are truths about God. These are truths about life. These are things that, you know, can have an impact on your life." And they don't have any, you know, they don't have any firsthand knowledge. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and he's saying, not only is this the truth, but he begins to talk about personally what had happened in his life. As he says in verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Here he goes on to talk about the afflictions that they had faced, that they had experienced in Asia. And Asia here is talking about the area which is now considered Asia Minor. I almost said Asia Minor as I was reading through the text there. But Paul is talking about the things that they had already faced. We don't know specifically what it is that Paul is referring to here. If you read commentators on this passage, some would suggest that it was dangerous riots that had taken place in Ephesus, and Acts 19 talks about some of that. Others think that it was some kind of deadly sickness that he may have been concerned about. Others say that it was the news coming from Corinth itself, disheartening news about what was taking place in Corinth, that Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he's overwhelmed, burdened for them. We don't know the details of what had taken place or what this affliction is that Paul is referring to, but it's not necessary to understanding the point he's making in this passage. The trouble was serious. It was something that weighed very heavily on Paul. He talks about how they despaired of life. He goes on to say that the sentence of death, you know, was upon them. Sometimes, as we're going through life, we can relate with Paul. We don't know how we're going to, you know, make it out of the situation that we find ourselves in. In the Old Testament, there was a man of God that was in a similar situation. He had just, you know, seen God do a miracle against 144,000 false prophets. You know, he had brought them all to this challenge, and God showed his power by bringing the fire from heaven and consuming the altar there, and showed that he was the true and living God versus the 144,000 false prophets. I might have that number wrong. I think I might have got that number from Revelation. But anyway, the false prophets of Baal there, that their God couldn't hear. He couldn't answer. He couldn't respond. He couldn't bring fire. And Elijah, after he had done all of that, you know, there's word come that, you know, someone wants his head. They want his life. And Elijah begins to flee. He runs into the wilderness, and he is in the same situation, despairing of life itself. It can happen in his life. It could happen in Paul's life, and it can happen in our lives as well. The circumstances, the situation around us, it seems too great. It seems overwhelming. There's not a clear way that we can see ourselves making it to the other side. It happened here for Paul and Timothy. It says that we despaired even of life itself. He describes this feeling of being overwhelmed. In the text there, he says that, verse 9, indeed we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely, not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He felt that there was the sentence of death, but he looked to the one who has power to raise the dead. He saw that God was still in control. This morning, the point of all of this that Paul is trying to tell us is that God is the one that brings deliverance. There was a purpose in the suffering that they had experienced. It was so that they would not trust in themselves, but that they would trust in God. What is the purpose for everything we faced in 2020? I don't know. I don't know the mind of God and why God allows certain things, but I think individually, I'd say, you know, there's a need to trust God more. Maybe even as a nation, maybe even globally, you know, maybe God would desire that we would trust him more. Why have all of these things happened this year? Maybe it's some suffering in order that we would turn our focus back to God and trust him more. I can't say that's the reason that God's allowed things that he's allowed, but it was in the case of Paul's affliction. It was so that they would rely not on themselves, but on God who raises the dead. There was a reason for Paul's suffering. How many times do we find ourselves trusting in our own strength, maybe trusting in our own wisdom when things are going well? You know, life is easy. You know, when everything's going great, when everything is, you know, the way that we would like it to be, how often do we think, well, we have done pretty good getting ourselves to this point. Everything's kind of taken care of. You know, we made good decisions in our life that got us to this point, and we trust in our own strength, our own wisdom, oftentimes failing to give God thanks for bringing us to that point. But it's in the difficult times, it's during times of affliction, times of suffering, that we realize our strength is not enough and we must trust in God's strength. And so Paul talks about how God had delivered them. Verse 10, he says that he delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. And he goes on to say that he will deliver us. We have hope that he will deliver us again. God is the one that brings deliverance. Here we see that he's both comforter and deliverer. Where do we turn? Who do we turn to for comfort from suffering. What is it that we go to? What is it that we look to in order to find comfort in the midst of affliction? If we're looking for that comfort anywhere but in Christ, I'd say we're probably looking in the wrong place. You say, well, you know, I've been coping pretty well. How's that really working out for you? Coping can only take you so far. It's only in God, only in Christ, that we can truly find comfort in our affliction. Where do you turn for deliverance from the situation that you're in? If you're looking at our world and you're looking at all the problems or the inconveniences maybe that we're facing, and maybe you say, well, eventually those people over there in Washington are going to get it all sorted out and they're going to come up with a solution and they're going to bring deliverance to all of these inconveniences. Don't hold your breath. Don't look to Washington to figure it out for you. Wherever you're looking for deliverance, if it's not found in Christ, it's probably not going to be true deliverance. God is the one that brings deliverance. If you've been saved any length of time, if you've been a believer any length of time, you can probably relate with Paul. You can probably recall times that God has delivered you. In verse 10, as Paul's talking about that God has delivered and he will deliver, that should be an encouragement for us in the midst of affliction, in the midst of situations that are out of our control that we can't seem to find, you know, the solution to. It ought to be an encouragement for us to look back over our Christian life and say, hey, God has delivered. And he's going to deliver again. God is in control. We can trust him because we have seen him do great things in the past. We can trust him because we've seen him provide before. We know that he is faithful. Satan, being the enemy and the adversary that he is, he would like for us in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of affliction, he would like for us to focus our attention anywhere but on Christ. But God gave us passages of scripture like this to remind us, to reset our focus and to remember who he is. He has delivered us. He will deliver us. We have hope that he'll deliver us again. We don't have all of the answers to the things that we would like as we go through our day-to-day lives, but we know that God is in control. He comforts us and he delivers us. Three takeaways as we think about these verses that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and that apply to us today. Three things that I wanted just to draw our attention to this morning. It is this: your life impacts others. If you look at verses 3 through 7 there, where it talks about our suffering, you know, it's affected others. Our comfort that we've received, it's passed on to others. Even in our suffering, others, you know, are comforted to see how God provided. All of that, our lives impact others. That's why we're to live the Christian life, not secluded by ourselves over on, you know, an island somewhere, but we're to live our Christian life functioning as the body of Christ, as a local church. Our life impacts others. Also, we are to rely on God and trust him. And then verse number 11, we didn't really spend any time on up to this point other than to read it, but verse number 11, we're to help each other in prayer. He said, you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Many times, we see tragic events happening in the lives of people around us. What can we do? We can pray. And sometimes we say, well, all we can do is pray. Well, that's what we should, you know, run to do. That's the most important thing that we can do. Just the last 2 days, I've been getting updates from some friends in Alabama and a group of people there that they sent me the names of the ones that have been diagnosed with COVID, one that, you know, had gone to the hospital, they rushed to the hospital, and, you know, all of these people that are affected and Well, goodness, I'm way over here in Louisiana. There's not a lot I can do, but I can pray. And they send that, you know, prayer request and let me know and give me the updates so that I can pray. And you say, well, that doesn't seem very significant. Satan would have us believe that prayer is not significant, but it is. And we're to help each other through prayers made on each other's behalf. And so we see that in verse number 11. This morning, I've been talking primarily to believers. Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. He wrote this to people that already knew about Christ. They already had begun that walk with Christ, and he's writing to believers to have hope, to take hope in the knowledge that God is with them, that he comforts them, that he delivers them. But there's many people in our community that they're going through the same things, same inconveniences, the same difficulties that we have been going through this year, and they're doing it alone. They're doing it without the church, you know, the church family. They're doing it without Christ. They're trying to navigate that alone. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and you say, I don't know of a time that I've placed my faith in Christ. I don't have these promises of comfort and deliverance that you're talking about this morning. Well, we want to give you that opportunity. It would be wrong of us to close the service and, not give you the opportunity to respond if God's placing it upon your heart to come to him in faith, to accept Christ by faith. And so we're going to prepare for a time of invitation. However God is leading, if you don't have that relationship with Christ, do that today. Make that decision today. We would be glad to meet with you, talk with you, and help you in that decision any way that we can. But believers, I don't want to talk about 2020 and cause us to leave discouraged. I gave that as the backdrop for us to leave encouraged, to know how great God is and that he can bring comfort and deliverance regardless of what's going on in the world around us.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.